Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Privileged to be here again and worship together this morning again. And I was blessed by the Sunday school lesson this morning. Again, thinking of fellowship. And I guess maybe I was especially thinking about that with the message that I'm planning on sharing this morning. The importance of fellowship in my life, of people that are there for me and have been for me in the past. Ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we go through the message this morning. I'd like to start this morning by just sharing a short personal story. This morning, it's 10 years ago. This evening, our family, which back then was just my wife and I and the two oldest children, we were shopping. Just normal day. Went to town in the evening, and my phone rang, and it was my mom. And she said, "There's been an accident, and Jeff has a broken leg." That's what we thought at that point. "But we don't know where the children are at yet." And so we went on with our shopping. We're in another store. We were actually looking for Christmas presents for their boys. And we got another phone call. And it was my mom again. She said, "All five of them are gone." They're gone. And you may not realize it when you get a phone call like that, but your life has forever changed. You have started, your journey has taken a different road, your journey in life. And it's hard to, I was thinking back what goes through your mind when you receive a phone call like that. And I don't know how to describe what all goes through your mind. But as it sinks in, it can feel like a cloud has fallen upon your life. And your world comes to a crashing halt. And what do you do? What do you do from here? How do you go on from here? Where is God when something like this happens to us? And the questions go on and on in our minds if we let them. But the reality keeps hitting back that this person, these people are gone from our lives. The title I've given this morning is Working Through Grief. And I've been contemplating this message or sharing something like this for quite some time. It wasn't, when I first thought about it, it wasn't my intention to share it this morning. But I believe as God moved in our scheduling and in my thoughts preparing, that I felt like today was the day to share this. And also, I know you all know, but our family is maybe at some point in the process as well with the passing of my mother last spring. And there's been numerous of you in the last couple of years, I didn't figure up a time, but that have lost parents and grandparents, a husband, and maybe other relatives that aren't as close. And I'm thankful. I'll give recognition to where I got some inspiration for this message. There's two sermons that I listened to. One is by Titus Hofer on ministering to the grieving. Another one is one that Dad preached at a minister's meeting a year or two after he lost his first wife, Marilyn. And also, I have notes from a talk that my mom gave at a meeting to ministers' wives of another constituency. So I'm grateful for the thoughts, grateful for the faithfulness of my parents. Quote from the message from Dad, it says, "Grief is not a stage, it's a road, a journey, a process." And so that's what I'd like to look at this morning, is grief is not just something that it's one time and we're done with it. It's something that as we move on through life, grief is a journey, like he said. And my focus this morning is going to be on grief, as in losing a loved one. But some of this can apply to other things as well. Financial loss, close friendships that are broken apart, wayward children. I believe the parents could grieve like this. Another thing that I'll just throw in here is a child that is taken on to glory before we know them, a miscarriage we call them. The parents grieve, and sometimes, many times, they grieve alone. Maybe I'll mention a little bit more about that later. And there can be other things that happen to us that we react to this much the same as at the loss of a loved one like this. And I have three basic goals this morning in the message here. And that is, the first one is that as we grieve, as we move through the process, we move through the process, that we don't ignore grief. Grief is a part of our life, and I'll talk a little more about it later, but the evil one would like to come in there and attack us even at our time of grief. The second goal is that God is good and that he knows what is best for us. And thirdly, that we would know how to help others that are grieving. Turn for a scripture here at the beginning to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34, verse 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Turn the page to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So we have here the passing of a generation in the leadership of Israel. Moses died. And the children of Israel had a time of mourning here, 30 days. And then God said, it's time to move on and cross the river. And there is a time to grieve. The children of Israel, in this case here, 30 days. And the wise men tell us in Ecclesiastes that there is a time. There's a time for a lot of things, but one of the times is there's a time to grieve, a time to weep. And there is nothing wrong with that. I believe that the grieving is part of coming to grips with the new reality that life has, that God has put in our lives. But there comes a time when we can't stay standing around that grave for the rest of our life. There comes a time when we have to move ahead and on in life. And it's painful to start again and try to pick up where we have left off. But slowly, gradually, and with the grace of God, we find strength to move on in our lives. And the children of Israel here, remember that they were still in the wilderness. If they would have stayed there, or they didn't know where the grave of Moses was, but if they would have stalled there in their lives, they would have missed on, think of all the blessings that God gave them as they crossed the river and went into the promised land. They would have missed out on that if they would have stayed back at the grave there. And I'd like to say along with that I'm not advocating that 30 days we grieve and it's time to get back to work. My point here is that they moved on in the process. And we all face grief differently. And some of us, it takes us longer than others. But we dare not get distracted. The devil will bring doubts in our mind and fears. And it just struck me how unfair our enemy is to us. Right when we are brought to our lowest, he comes, and what about this? Is God good to you? Why did God bring that to you? When we are brought to our lowest, we get tempted the hardest like that. It just... And there is 5 points that have been identified in the grieving process, and these are not original with me. You read a lot of books. They're very common. People have identified 5 areas as you move through the grieving process. And again, keep in mind that each of us are different in how these things affect us. And maybe we can struggle with a couple of them at the same time. And there's one that I'll mention that I really don't know if I struggled with it much. The first one is denial. Denial. And it's part of our natural reaction when we hear about it. We just wish it could go away. We would hope it's a bad dream that we can wake up from. And I remember a lot of times we hear it. We hear news like that and we say, no, as our first response. And when I got that phone call from my mom, you know, my response was all 5 of them. Like maybe, hopefully it wasn't quite all of them. And along with that, our bodies kind of go into shock. And I believe that's God. It's protecting us from maybe the blow more than we can handle at once. And I had to think of the one accident. There was an accident, I can't remember the year now, that took Grandpa Schrock and my Aunt Evelyn Krupp. They were killed instantly in an accident. Most of you from the West, this isn't new to you. But my brother Marcus and I were the only ones at home. The rest of our family that wasn't married was on a trip. They were in Mexico visiting family. And maybe I'll just go into that. I was outside, and Clayton's brother worked at the business for Dad. He came driving in the lane. He said, there's a wreck at the corner and Melvin's dead. And we jumped in the pickup and hurried down there. I'll never forget that scene, but the first one of family there. And it felt like I just went numb for, I'm not sure how long, for a few days. I almost felt guilty. I didn't feel like I was grieving or anything. I just felt numb. And I think, and one of my older siblings told me that you were in shock those days. Another area that people struggle with, another response is anger. And to many people, I believe this is a part of the grieving process, and many people even tell you it's okay to be angry with God. And I guess I would challenge that a little bit. And one thing Dad said, and maybe Jason could verify this or not, but the funeral director told him that people come in and they're angry at the funeral director. Or it feels like that because they got to be angry. They're angry at something, and it feels like they're angry at them. And I believe if we can't rely on God, if we don't have that relationship with Him, very likely anger will be part of our response. I'd like to turn to Job and look at the words of Job. If any man had a reason to be angry with God, we'd think Job would have. Job chapter 12, verse 9. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? How do we know that this isn't in God's plan? Chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Chapter 27, verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Job's continued faithfulness in God. Verse 42, at the end, chapter 42, excuse me, at the end of Job's troubles here. Verse 2, verse 1, and then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is thee, he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered things that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I would like to ask, do these words sound like someone who is angry? As you read through this, and as I read through the book of Job, you can tell that he comes to a lot fuller understanding of God and his working with man. And right along with anger, I think we tend to be frustrated with this. Why did God allow this to happen? Why haven't I been trying to do what is right? And we can go on and on. And I think some of these questions can be normal. But I think we need to be careful that we do not become angry with God. The next one, the next point is bargaining with God. This is one that I'm not sure that I struggled with much, but I have heard that it is a struggle for some people. That, you know, I will do this and this for you, God, if you will heal my loved one. Another area is guilt or depression. And we can go back with guilt and we can relive the experiences, our relationship with the person that has passed on. And we can worry, we can feel guilty about different things. Did we treat them right? If it was a terminal illness, did I make the right decisions about treatment? If only I would have said this, if I wouldn't have said this, and again, we can go on and on. If it's a wreck, something like an accident, if we wouldn't have stopped here, we wouldn't have been there on the road. Or if we would have left home earlier, we wouldn't have been there on the road. And I remember, again, I have a lot of personal stories this morning, but after my Aunt Martha passed from cancer, I struggled. I had, when she was sick, the thought had come to me that I should fast and pray. And I have studied fasting, I think, at that point in my walk with God. I had maybe not quite the proper view of fasting, but after she was gone, I struggled with this. If, you know, what if I would have fasted? If I would have spent weeks fasting, what if she got better? And I felt guilty toward her husband and children. You know, did I cause them grief because I wasn't willing to do this? And I finally talked to someone and they helped me through this, that no, it's not my fault, that God has a purpose for each of our lives. The fifth place in grief is acceptance of what has happened. And this is a hard one to come to. How do we come to the place of acceptance with this? And as we continue on with life, and as we learn to place our hands in God's hands and yield our will to God's will, I believe that He brings a measure of acceptance, that we can feel acceptance of what God has done or what He has allowed into our lives. And this doesn't happen all at one time. I'm sure others of you could say that, agree with me on that as well. We accept it one day and the next day we struggle with it again, it feels like. And sometimes I think it takes a conscious effort that we, again, that we learn to decide that we are going to accept God's plan. Another quote from Dad from the Message, talking about this very thing, acceptance. Sometimes it feels like we're taking two step forward and one step backward. And sometimes we slide back about a dozen steps and we need to start over from there. And I would like to look now at some things that grieving people face. And one that I have seen a few times that concerns me is a tendency of people to bottle up their feelings and their emotions on this. We kind of harden ourselves and we're not going to let this affect us and we're just going to go on with life. I think we need to face this reality squarely. So healing can, it's a process, but so healing can come. Another thing people face is self-pity. No one has had to face what I'm facing. My life is so much harder than those around me, and it's not fair what I have to face. And I would confess that I have struggled in this area as well. Another thing is loss of physical energy, lethargy. No energy. Your mind can feel foggy in a daze, and there's decisions that need to be made, and you don't know how you're going to make them because you just can't think. And so, how do we move on from this? How do we get through our grief? First one I have is to learn to rely on God and His promises. And I would say, don't wait till you're in the middle of a situation where you are faced with grief to learn to rely on God. Learn it now. Learn this. Become familiar with the Scriptures. They'll be a comfort to you in a time like this. Some Scriptures quickly here of how God cares for us. Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Verses of God's comfort and care for us. Another thing I have here is find things to be thankful for. Be thankful for what God has done in your life in the past, and for His faithfulness. And even can we come to the place where we are thankful for the hard experiences that God brings us through. Another thing I have, and this obviously is not, if you want to, at the beginning, but as we have worked through our journey, is find some others' needs to minister to. And I was impressed with Jesus' example in this. Have you ever thought about the background before, right before he fed the 5,000? In the chapter before that, Jesus had just learned that John the Baptist had been killed. And they were cousins. I'm sure this was hard on Jesus. And he tried to get his disciples away from the multitude so they could rest and so they could have a time to grieve, and I don't think that would have been wrong. But the people came, the people followed him, they couldn't get away. And so Jesus ministered to their needs as well. Again, hear me, I don't think a week after one of our loved ones died we need to be out looking for that to do necessarily, but as we move on, in this, along with that, I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. and 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so as we move on, when we see someone else grieving, we are able to understand with them. We can go and give them comfort because we know, at least in a measure, what they are going through. And helping others also takes our minds off ourselves and can help us guard against self-pity. And the questions sometimes asked is how can a loving God do this to us? How can a loving God be so cruel to his children? And I'd like to use the example of us as parents with our children. Do we always do what our children want? Do we always let them do the things that they want? And there's many times I'm thinking of small children here. As parents, we've been children. We know that eating all the candy you want isn't good for you. We know things like that. And so there's just many things that they want to do that we know is not for their good. Even to the point where we need to punish them for things they have done because we know it's for their good. And we read the verse in Psalms how God pities us as we pity our children. That he cares for us. And that he knows what is good for us. I have some other verses here along with this. I'll just read down over them again. Job 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And God sends us these trials to refine us. And if you think of the refining process of gold and silver, it's not pleasant. It takes a lot of heat. Hebrews 12, verse 6 to 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And so God brings these things again into our lives because he loves us as a father, his children. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Somewhere else it says that God's ways are above our understanding. And so I think that we can see that God has a plan for us. And I think we need to rest in that somehow, come to a place where we find rest in God's plan for our lives. And I don't really think that some of this, maybe we'll totally understand it in this life. I think it's going to be in as we pass into our eternal reward that we will fully understand why God needed to bring us through these things. And there's a poem that a friend wrote at the time of my Aunt Martha's passing. I don't have it, and I wish I could have got my hands on it. But it was the idea of God looking down at his sheep, and he wanted to make them conscious of their heavenly home and not be so content here on the earth. And so he reached down and he took a sheep out of the flock to remind them that he was God and that there was another another home awaiting them. And I'd like to, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. To the end of the chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So here we have the promise of eternal life, and we have the promise of our loved ones that have died faithful, that they are in a place of rest and comfort, and that they have now passed through this life. And it's actually, as we, I think, as we, if we could see it from God's eyes, it is a victory has been won, that they have been brought home safe from their labors. It's hard for us to see it that way from our perspective, isn't it? And I'll just read, I have the words of a song here that's familiar to most of us at least, that I'll just read it here. It says, would we truly long for heaven if this life was perfect here? If we had no pain or heartache, if we never shed a tear, if we had no disappointments and our dreams would all come true, could we keep that heavenly vision and the deep eternal view? Would we truly long for heaven if we never gave a sigh? If the old were always taken and the young would never die? If we had no cherished loved ones waiting at the eastern gate, would we truly long for heaven and reunion that awaits? Would we truly long for heaven at the ending of the road if our backs were never bleeding from the burden of the load? If the sun was always shining, if we never felt a gale, would we long for heaven's harbor to be safe within the veil? Would we truly long for heaven and the bliss on yonder shore if we had no loved ones tugging on the line at heaven's door? If our precious family circle ne'er was broken here below, would we truly long for heaven where our loved ones we shall know? Yes, dear Savior, we are longing to be safe on heaven's shore, and these trials only make us long for heaven more and more. And we see that you are using every trial of each day as a tug from heaven's anchor just to pull us heaven's way. Written by Elizabeth Drudge. And so may we be mindful of heaven and where our loved ones have gone and a longing in our hearts to go there. Now I have some kind of some practical do's and don'ts for the when we need to comfort someone that is grieving. And I would be open to comments from you that have gone through these experiences, so what you found helpful or unhelpful. First, I have go to them. Don't stay away because you're not sure what you will say. They need you there. They need your help. When you want to encourage them, sometimes saying less is a lot better than saying a lot more. Now is probably not a good time to try to analyze and figure out why God has allowed this into their life. Also, along with that, now is probably not a good time to quote verses about, like Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. They're not ready for that at this point. Let them know that you care. That means a lot. Pray for them and let them know that. Let them know you're praying for them. One of my sisters just commented recently that there's things people have said that made her upset, but she never was upset when they let them know they cared, and let her know they were praying. That always means a lot. If you can't relate to what they're going through, don't try to pretend that you do. It can be very, very frustrating to the grieving. And here, I'll just give an example of this. I'm sure most of all of you know our family situation. My father being passed on and my mother marrying and that I kept my father's surname. And this isn't maybe really at the time of grief, but maybe it applies. But it was always embarrassing to me as I grew up that they want to know, who are you? What's your name? Like when we're visiting somewhere, they want to know, what's your name and what's your dad's name? And then I'd have to give a long explanation of that. And I remember when I was in my teens, this one, and he is he's a well-respected man. I don't want to fault him. But he started in on, we don't know what God has for us, but we trust in God and we allow him to work us well in our lives. And I know he meant well, but it all went over my head. I didn't feel like he was relating and trying to feel where I was at in this. At the time of loss, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of decisions. There's a lot of places where we can help those that are grieving. And I would say don't just go. There might be a time for this, but overall, don't just call them and say, is there anything I can do to help you? That they have a hard time thinking straight enough already. But think of something that needs to be done and then do it for them. Maybe make sure it's okay, but think of work that needs to be done. Food, it's nice if food is prepared so they don't have to think about cooking. Airport runs for people that are coming to visit. When Grandpa Schrock's died, somebody went to Costco and bought the biggest container or the biggest package of toilet paper they could find and brought it. But that met a need. Washing clothes for the people. At least one of the funerals, somebody came and washed all the cars for us. Just little things that need to be done. And I would say along with that, speaking of my experiences when my mom was a widow, was don't forget about them afterward. And I'm thankful for the church we had. They didn't leave us sit. The church did a lot for us. There often comes a time where the grieving, they want to talk about their experiences or about their loved ones. And if they want to talk, give them a listening ear. But if they don't want to talk, don't feel hurt if they don't feel like talking to you. And remember that not everyone shows their emotions the same way. And as time goes on, remember that as you have your life, if it's somebody not close to you, you have picked up your life and you have went on. They haven't. They are going to be grieving for a long time, and life is hard for them. Remember them. Remember them. Remember in the days, this is an interesting note my mom had. Remember the days leading up to a special event, like an anniversary. That can be as hard or harder than than the day itself. But remember them in prayer. Keep on telling them that you're praying for them. Don't just tell them once, but tell them again and again. We need each other's prayers as we go on. I want to just mention a little bit with if someone has suffered the loss of an unborn baby, try to let them know that you care. The mother, especially if it is later term, is grieving as well, and the father is too. And I felt convicted. There was friends of ours that went through that experience, and he told his wife, and she told my wife, he said, you have friends that talk to you. The other ladies talk to you, but none of the men talk to me, and he was hurting too. And I know it's not something that we all find out about as much, but remember them in prayer. And I know I recognize that I gave these from my perspective, but this is things that I have noticed in my experiences. In closing, let's turn back to Job chapter 42. Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job allowed these hard experiences that God brought him through to draw him closer to God. He wasn't just hearing about God now. Now he saw him with his eyes. He was closer to God and recognized what God had done for him. Let's kneel together for prayer.